The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, space enthusiasts. Welcome to another episode of the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kovi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. Before we even get into conversation, I would like to just throw out the handles and get the formalities out of the way. I am Space K Sarah. You can find me on all the social media platforms. You have Kovi of Fun Fact Science on all the time wasters, as he would say, and Benjamin of Science Actually, Actually Science. Please go find us, follow us. We apparently like to, be controversial just by, you know, sharing posts.
By existing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please go find us. did you get any death threats?
No, I didn't. Not this week.
Not this week. Yeah, too bad. But before, because I have this tendency to start this show and then I just like launch into it and then suddenly we're talking and I'm like, oh no, I didn't do like that whole like go to irockspaceradio.com kind of nonsense. So there we go. I said it. Pre-apologizing, Kovi thinks he might have COVID. He's not sure, which would be a bummer.
Please listen with a mask on.
Black lungs pop. And I threw out my neck, which has been fun the past couple of days. Benjamin, I think you're faring fine.
I'm doing great.
So, yeah. Kavi's wearing his mask now, so we are virtually protected. Yes, thank you. We have a I don't know what element we're on. We have an episode lined up for you. It's going to highlight
potassium. It's the best element. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best element. Well, you need to take it away. Because we have like good stuff in the news to talk about and apparently we have the best element to talk about. I mean, I am a fan of table salt, you know, NaCl. But tell me why potassium alone is the best element. Tell me why.
I mean, there's some cool stuff with potassium, which gets its name from potash because it used to be kind of derived from taking the ash from trees and grinding it up in a pot. Super, super important for a bunch of different uses, especially for fertilization. Its derivatives are also used for gunpowder and a bunch of cool stuff. But the coolest thing that I've found, and that relates to my kind of Darth Vader breathing impression just before, is the fact that potassium, when combined with O2, makes what's called potassium superoxide, which is basically a solid form of potassium and oxygen that is used on space missions and scuba diving and in rebreather masks and also in submarines. And so it's basically like this solid thing that can release oxygen and also clean the air of carbon dioxide.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that does make it the best ever, in addition to also combining with chlorine, Cl?
I think being used on submarines kind of just... rounds up
to make my
episode.
Favorite
that was awesome actually. So let's just stop.
I was gonna say to make my favorite seasoning for white people ever, salt.
I thought that was mayonnaise.
I was gonna say mayonnaise. I don't like mayonnaise actually.
Too spicy. Benjamin.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm such a whip with spice. What happened on this day in history or when it's going to air?
This should be December 24th if it goes on. Merry Christmas Eve. It is cosmonaut Oleg Skripochka's birthday, who is one of the record holders for almost having the most days in space, 536. Not consecutive, but total. And happy scientist birthday to James Prescott Joule, English physicist who established various forms of energy. And this is a good segue into what happened with
the announcement.
He formed the basis for the laws of conservation of energy. and the first laws of thermodynamics. And so good on him. And tomorrow, if you guys are not listening to our show, it's Christmas, and that's going to be Isaac Newton's birthday. So big shout out to that dude.
But we're fans.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I actually did not know that Isaac Newton's birthday was on the 25th of December. I guess I never really paid attention to that. But now that you say it, I'm like, maybe I have heard that once or twice. Yeah, that was a pretty solid segue into a pretty big headline that came out today. I guess we can start with that one. There's a few things in the news that I wanted to talk about. And I think that we can fill pretty much an entire show on each three of these kind of topics, because we first had the return of Orion, which happily was successful. And so that, I think, was a big win for the Artemis program because it needed that. We had the other day the announcement of the Dear Moon finalists, which I believe we were recording when we actually first talked about it a couple of episodes days ago. So like a couple episodes that aired ago. Time is just a construct. And then we...
Wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey.
had today the announcement from the U.S. Government Energy Office, essentially, that nuclear fusion has been achieved to be able to, the amount of input of energy is less than the amount of the output energy that happened within the reactor. So there are some caveats to this announcement, but it is an exciting announcement. And so joules, and that actually was one of the, was like megajoules or something like that. Like it's a, it's a very big number of what went in, that they aim some lasers at something that's the size of a peppercorn. That's the what? That's the big thing I took away from that. And a little bit more was came out from that reaction, which is very exciting and something that is almost of science fiction, to be honest. It was basically determined that it might not ever be possible. And I guess this was the 192nd time that they performed this experiment. And it finally achieved the result that they were hoping for. And so, the reason that at the very beginning of the episode, I said, like, we get a lot of hate. I posted something positive about it. I'm getting a lot of like heat or not heat, but a lot of discourse in the, conversation.
Thread. Negative energy.
That's where the negative energy went.
I'm not the first one that says like, oh, we've done it. We've fixed climate change. It's a very exciting first step. And that's kind of what I was trying to emphasize, was that this is a big first step in a direction that has been before said not possible. And so I guess our resident physicist here would be the one to consult the most on, you know, what were your takeaways? You woke up to this firestorm of media, and I'm sure you had some suspicions because I know that it was leaked beforehand, but...
I mean, the firestorm was intense. I woke up, there were media trucks outside my house, photographers everywhere.
You were held directly responsible for interpret this for us.
So I'm not a nuclear physicist, but I will do my best to try to explain it. But yeah, as you were saying, Sarah, basically something the size of a peppercorn is kind of like a tiny containment unit, contains a little bit of hydrogen, right? The most fundamental element. And nuclear fusion, as it sounds like, is basically the act of fusing together light elements to create heavy elements. And when you do that, you can do it in such a way that besides, you know, converting hydrogen into helium, as was the case with this experiment, there's also a bit of energy that's produced along the way. And so, yeah, what actually happened here was, for the first time, the energy that was produced was more than the energy that was required to kind of, as you were saying, you know, these kind of lasers had to apply pressure and energy and heat onto this tiny peppercorn-sized thing in order to get the tiny atoms to fuse together. And so it's a huge deal. I mean, what's wild to me is the fact that this is what's happening in our sun at its core and in most stars out there. all the time for billions of mm-hmm. years. And it's kind of like been this holy grail of physics for quite some time now, probably for like, you know, better part of the last century. And now we've finally done it. And it's really cool. As you were saying, it has incredible implications for climate change and sustainable energy. That basically, like, hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe. And we, if we can perfect this process and actually make it sustainable long term and, you know, increase how much more energy is produced compared to how much energy is required, we can move off fossil fuels. We can, you know, just be better and more efficient as a civilization with our yeah. positive energy and no more yes. negative energy.
Yes. Well, I mean, the implications, the potential is just huge. It we could actually provide energy to the entire world, and we can not, you know, and reverse climate change. And think of the influence this could have on the space industry. That was the first thing I thought of. I mean, we already send the rovers up with nuclear reactors. Mm-hmm. So imagine how we could run space stations off of this in the future. I mean, the potential is just massive. And the pushback that I'm the spicy comments, if you will, I'm getting is like, people are like, well, the energy that it took to fire the lasers and it doesn't equate out. I kind of feel like it's that meme where it's like you and the point and it goes like sailing over their head, where I'm like, that wasn't...
Missing the point.
So my intelligent retort that I'm doing back to them is I'm just using quotes from people who naysayed things that we can't imagine our lives without today, like airplanes and cars. And I'm sure I will have to find some more at this point because I keep getting some pushback. But the one I just shared was about how somebody was in retort to cars becoming a thing. They were like, well, there's not enough gasoline available for, you know, automobiles to become a thing for everyone. Like, there's just, it's just not there. And so, you know, I hate to say it, but like, add a little bit of profit and the drive to, you know, the necessity of invention, boy, can we humans get stuff done. And so mm-hmm. the potential to this, even though the technology is not there right now, I can see the drive for innovation really coming into play here. I think a really perfect model of that is when NASA was so crunched with their budget that they finally said, hey, how about we partner and contract private companies to do some of this for us? And it has changed the game for NASA. And so I think that that model will definitely be taken into consideration with this going forward.
It's also... Like
Benjamin. Oh, you froze for a second. I thought you were going to say something. Go ahead. Oh, I thought Benjamin was going to say something.
No, I was looking at you guys talking to each other. No.
I was lost in your eyes for a moment, thinking about
thank you.
Two big eyes like nuclear fission reactors. Yeah. what's good though is that you know, one of the other big criticisms that nuclear energy often gets is this kind of like Chernobyl style, oh my God, what if the reactor, you know, terrible things happen and it, you know, we lose the ability to control it. And then it's kind of like this Frankenstein's monster. What have we created? We can't stop it. But unlike fusion requires that external kind of ignition to start it up. It requires an external force to start the process and keep the process going. Because if you turn off the outwards pressure, then there's nothing pushing the hydrogen atoms towards one another, as opposed to a fission, which is, you know, breaking heavier elements apart.
Right, and then that's a chain reaction that you can't stop.
Yeah.
You are a brilliant communicator. I love this. Thank you. Thank you. No, that, like, because I had a comment that I didn't know how to address, but they were like, they were, you know, taking risk into their own hands. And part of me wanted to be like, mm-hmm. wasn't that no different than the risk of fission reactions? But that is a amazing point. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, that was my first big topic. I mean, like, I feel like I'm done. Like, great. That was awesome. Yeah, this will definitely, I was kind of running up to the wire to start recording today, but I briefly tried to explain what happened to my kids today using actually some space patches that I have. And I was explaining how atoms come together to make molecules, and sometimes we rip those apart. And I said, but today we put them together. Well, not today, but, you know, they told us that they put them together, and it actually makes a lot of energy. And it's so funny. My daughter was like, they're like, well, climate change. Yeah, we hear about it. And that's what Joides is studying, the ship I'm sailing on. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, but, you know, like, I filled up the car today. And like that, the emissions, you know, when I use the car, it adds to climate change. And like a little light bulb went off, and Addie goes, well, school buses don't do that, right? And I was like, oh, school buses do that a lot, my dear. you know, I think the wheelhouse was starting to spin where they were like, oh, you know, it's kind of an exciting time, especially for my children, probably more than for us, but more for them. So
I could see you're talking to the school bus driver the next time. You're destroying the world. I'll take you to school.
But I mean, you know, there's obviously a balance, because that's a lot of kids getting into one bus as opposed to each individual parent driving. I mean, numbers, whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But numbers, anyway, whatever. we're going to take a break. When we get back, we have more spacey related stuff, not nuclear stuff to talk about. Very exciting stuff, and kind of in lines with, you know, there are some things to be to discuss and to think about with these topics, but I think they are really exciting things in the space world that we should talk about. So I don't really think that there's a theme to this episode other than there's been a lot of news. It's kind of cool, and I wanted to talk about it. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on IROC Space Radio.